Father, thank you so much for my brother. I thank you for the deep-seated love for Jesus that's in his heart. Lord, I pray that that above everything else would come out for each of us today. I pray, Lord, that our hearts would be ready, open, and sensitive to what the Holy Spirit would say to each one of us. Give us ears to hear what the Spirit would say to the church. We trust you, Father, to give that word to our brother Danny today by the anointing of your Holy Spirit that's on his life to preach the word of God. We thank you, Lord, that that word will come to us today and will be a blessing. We will be built up. We will be encouraged. We will be strengthened as the children of God and the church of the Lord Jesus Christ to serve you more faithfully from this day moving forward. And we praise you for it. Lord, we just yield Danny now into your hands. And thank you, Lord, for having your way through him in these moments with us. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Thank you, Pastor. All right, brother. Well, good morning, church. Aren't you glad the Lord is with us? Let's try it again. Aren't you glad the Lord is with us? He's here. He's here. He's here. And because he is here, whatever you need, he is. Whatever you need, he has. And whatever you need, he can do. He is in this house today. Woo, hallelujah. I feel good. I feel good. I know we don't go by feelings, but guess what? I feel good. I feel that James Brown anointing coming on. The Godfather of soul. He said, whoa, I feel good. The pastor mentioned that I am from Salem. Salem. The Bible tells us that Melchizedek used to be the priest of Salem. Today, I am. Hallelujah. And yes, Pastor, I am Pentecostal. Amen. Somebody asked the question one time. They said, if you weren't Pentecostal, what would you be? I said, I would be ashamed. Come on now. But God is so good. God is so good. Why don't you turn to the person beside you and tell them, say, you look good today. Come on, tell them, you look good today. Come on, tell them. Even if you've got to tell them in faith. Come on now, tell them, say, you look good today. Oh, God is so good. God is so good. Pastor talked about how I love him. And church, guess what? I love him. I love him. The Bible tells us he that is forgiven much loveth much. How many of you have been forgiven much? Let me see your hands. I don't know if I share this in times past, but guess what? I've been forgiven much. Now you're looking at me today, you'll see he was probably born in the back seat of a Sunday school bus. He probably cut his teeth on the back row of some spirit-filled church. Wrong again. Because until 53 years ago, my life was a mess. You Google the word mess, you'll see my picture there. Because my life was a mess. I had a mom and a dad, Lawrence and Florence. They were born again, spirit-filled saints of the highest order. And they loved God. And they loved the things of God. And they endeavored to raise up their six children, three boys and three girls, in the ways of God. And five out of the six were okay. But here I was. And when I was 9 years of age, something happened in my life. At that time of my life, my dad was my best friend. My dad was my hero. I was my dad's shadow. Wherever he went, guess what? I was there. But on a Monday morning, my dad was struck down with a massive stroke. They didn't expect my dad to live, but thank God after a number of months, he was got out of the hospital. But when he was struck down, Patrick, came on that Monday morning, the devil came to me. He said, look what your God has done to your dad. Guess what? My God didn't do that. My God's a good God. The thief comes to steal, to kill, and destroy. But guess what? My God, your God, he comes to give life and life more abundantly. But look what your God has done to your dad. And you're going to serve God after what he's done to your dad. And as a young boy, 9 years of age, something happened. I rose up and I said 1,000 times no. I would not live for God. I would not serve God. And something happened to me then. Bitterness, anger, and rebellion came into my life. The forces of hell. But bitterness, anger, and rebellion will take you down, 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 down. And from the time that I was 9 years of age upwards, I was arrested 45 times. I was arrested by the police for the first time when I was 9 years of age. And over the years, I was in and out of juvenile centers, detention centers, reform schools, city jails, county jails. As a teenager, I served time twice in the state penitentiary. I was going down, 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 down. But guess what? 2 days before I went back to prison for the second time, guess what happened to me? I got gloriously born again. Hallelujah. Oh, praise the Lord. I'm talking about God supernaturally brought me to the house of God on a Sunday night. And I was in the back. The Spirit of God began to deal with my heart. And that night I went to the front. I gave my life to the Lord. It was with those old time full gospel Pentecostal churches. How many of the kind I'm talking about? Where you thought the pastor had a respiratory problem. Come on out. Ha! Glory to God. Ha! Glory to God. Woo! Glory. Ha! Woo! Hallelujah. I mean, ever since had 5 glories and 10 hallelujahs. Come on out. But I went down that night to the altar. And I don't know how to pray, but I just prayed the same way I heard my mama praying. Oh God, oh God, oh God, oh God. And as soon as I hit the altar, about that time, 35 to 40 saints, they jumped up out of the seats and they gathered around about me. They started binding this, to loosen this, rebuking this, and casting out that. And I was kneeling down trying to get right with God. And one of them had me under the throat, shaking my throat, said, give it up, give it up, give it up. And I said, no, you give it up. Come on out. One on this side was saying, hang on, hang on. One on this side was saying, let go, let go. Should I let go or hang on? I didn't know. Do it both. Come on now. And about 5 or 6 behind me, give me a Pentecostal rubdown. But in spite of all that, guess what? I got right with God. He washed away my sin. Hallelujah. And that night I was bound by all kinds of garbage and junk and yuck and trash. I was an alcoholic. I was a drug addict, shooting drugs. I was a mess. But guess what? In a moment, suddenly, guess what? I was set free. And also he healed my body. As a young man, that Jonathan hepatitis C, plus all the distant vertebrates in my back were all messed up, goofed up from total night, 7 automobiles and 2 motorcycles. Plus I was raised in Alabama and I say, hey, y'all watch this. Come on now. But God, save me. He delivered me. Woo! He healed my body. Come on, shout amen. And 2 days later, I went back to court. I was facing 5 felony charges. Facing 40 years in the Alabama State Penal System. I've been there before. Did you get off? No! I went back to prison. But guess what? 1 month later, in a visiting room, I got gloriously baptized in the Holy Ghost and fire. Come on, shout, yeah, woo! And I went back to the cell block, you know, just moments after I got gloriously baptized in the Holy Ghost. And I sat down and I began to look out at this cell block, hundreds of men, murderers and rapists and thieves and arsons and politicians. Come on now. And I said, Lord, you got to touch them like you touched me. He said, son, tell them about me. I said, Lord, I'm a nothing, I'm a nobody. Right there on a Sunday afternoon, I got gloriously called to preach. I said, but Lord, I'm a nothing, I'm a nobody. Good, I can use you then. I had no education. I got kicked out of 4 public high schools in Montgomery, Alabama. My mind was sizzling, frying, burnt out. All I could say was, yeah, wow, heavy, far out. My vocabulary was limited. But guess who I married? I married an English major. Come on now. Think about that. And she would say, baby, your grammar is the pits. I said, yeah, but we're saved by grace and not by grammar. Come on. And guess what? 40 years, but God worked some miracles. And guess what? I got out in 5 months. And I had a burning fire shut up in my bones. And 1 year later, I preached my first message. And 3 weeks after I preached my first message, I started traveling as an evangelist. And I've been traveling now for over 50 years from coast to coast with the Holy Ghost. Come on. And around the world. Can somebody shout amen? Amen. But Pastor said, I've got a heart for Jesus. That's why. Because he got a hold of me and he won't let go. Hallelujah. Well, how many have your Bibles with you this morning? Why don't you just hold them up high and torment the devil? Come on, church. Oh, yes. Say this after me, please. Say, I'm a warrior for the Lord. With my two-edged sword. I'm armed and dangerous with the word of God. The church, I want you to take it and just shake it in the devil's face. Come on now. No, I said in his face. Remember, he's under our feet. Amen. Would you turn with me, please, this morning to 2 Chronicles. 2 Chronicles chapter 29. One verse of the scripture, verse 36. Would you stand, please, for the reading of God's holy word? Don't you love the Lord? Don't you love his word? Ooh, hallelujah. I want to say this. It's good to be here once again at Victory Christian Fellowship with Pastor Ken and Becky Jane. Hallelujah. Oh, God is good. 2 Chronicles chapter 29, verse 36. And Hezekiah, talking about the king of Judah. And Hezekiah rejoiced. And all the people. How many is okay to rejoice? Come on now. The Bible says, rejoice. And again, I say rejoice. And Hezekiah rejoiced and all the people that God had prepared the people. For the thing was done. What's that last word? Come on, shout it out loud. Suddenly. Say it again. Suddenly. For the thing was done suddenly. Hear me. God has a suddenly just for you. Father God, we thank you for your word. Your word is life-giving. Your word is life-changing. And Father, I believe today because of your holy word, we will never, ever be the same again. We thank you now. We bless you. And all of God's people said together, amen. God bless you. You may be seated. I said, God has a suddenly just for you. Suddenly. I love that word. He has a suddenly just for you. Now, all through the Bible, we find words like this. Immediately, quickly, suddenly, straightway. Because our God is still the God of the suddenly. Suddenly. Now, what does the word suddenly mean? The word suddenly here in the text in the original Hebrew means this. Happening unexpectedly. Changing all at once. And my God specializes in doing just that. Because he's still the God of the suddenly. Now through the Bible we find where God moved in sudden ways. Suddenly the eyes of the blind were opened. Suddenly the issue of blood dried up. Suddenly the leprosy was cleansed. Suddenly the great storm became a great calm. Suddenly the dead was raised. Suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind. And suddenly God turned the bodies for Hezekiah and for all of Judah. You said, but that was then, but what about now for me? For you, beloved, there can be sudden breakthroughs, sudden favor, sudden restoration, sudden healing, sudden miracles, sudden blessings. Why? Because our God is still the God of the suddenly. Suddenly, God can heal your body. Suddenly, God can turn that situation around. Suddenly, God can restore your marriage. Suddenly, God can give you peace of mind. Suddenly, God can set you free. Suddenly, God can turn your sorrow into joy. And suddenly, he'll make a way for you like he did for Hezekiah and for all of Judah. The Bible declares, for the thing was done, what's that word again? Suddenly. But you're answering the question, but what happened suddenly? Well, we got to back up to the chapter before this. Because in chapter 9, we find the father of King Hezekiah. Hezekiah's father was named Ahaz. What a name. Ahaz. Now, trust you don't have any friends or neighbors or relatives by the name of Ahaz. But what does Ahaz mean? The word, the name Ahaz means, and he has brought bondage. Ahaz. But he has brought bondage ever 16 long years. Ahaz. He was a wicked king. He was a corrupt king, a vile king, an idolatrous king. For 16 long years, Ahaz, he kept the people of God in bondage. For 16 long years. For 16 long years, they were in bondage and slavery and servitude and captivity. For 16 long years. But I've got some good news. Ahaz died. Now, maybe you don't have a literal Ahaz in your life, but maybe there's a physical Ahaz. Maybe there's an emotional Ahaz, a financial Ahaz, a marital Ahaz. But I got a word for you. Your Ahaz is about ready to die. Come on, shout amen. Amen. But Ahaz died, and his son Hezekiah became the king of Judah. No, Ahaz means, and he has brought bondage. That doesn't sound too good. But what about Hezekiah? The name Hezekiah means this, the Lord God Jehovah is my strength. Ooh, doesn't that sound a whole lot better? And when Hezekiah became the king of Judah on day one, he didn't wait till the next day, the next week, but on day one, Hezekiah made some right decisions. And your decision will determine your destiny. But as you begin to read this chapter 29, you can see some of the right decisions that Hezekiah made. In fact, five decisions that Hezekiah made. I want you to notice these decisions. Number one, Hezekiah said, I'm a dude that was just right in the sight of the Lord. He said, I'm a walk in the ways of my father David. But I thought Ahaz was his father. Yes, his natural father, his biological father. But he said, I'm not walking the ways. I'm my spiritual father, David. I love the Message Bible. And the Message Bible says this. And in God's opinion, Hezekiah was a good man. I like that, don't you? But Hezekiah, he said, I'm going to do what is right in the sight of Almighty God. I'm going to live right, do right, talk right, pay my tithes. I'm going to live for God. I'm going to be sold out to God. What about you, church? Have you made the decision? I'm going to live for God. I'm going to serve God. I don't know about you, church, but I made up my mind a long time ago that I'm going to do what is right. I'm going to live right in the sight of Almighty God. I don't smoke, drink, dip, chew, cuss, gamble, or chase ugly women. Come on now. I made up my mind a long time ago, like Hezekiah, that I'm going to live for Almighty God. I am God-possessed. Come on. Ooh, hallelujah. He said, I'm going to do what is right in the sight of Almighty God. You liked that, didn't you, Brother Ken? The second decision was this. Hezekiah says, time to clean up the house of God. For 16 long years, the house of God, the temple of God, had been laying in waste. There was pagan rubbish everywhere. Everything was turned over. It was a mess. I'm talking of the altars, the lampstands, the labor was all turned over. And there's nothing but junk and garbage and junk filth. But Hezekiah said it's time. For 16 long years, the temple of God had been like this. But Hezekiah said, I'm going to do what is right in the sight of God. He said, I'm going to have you to clean up the house of God. And he told the Levites and the priests, he said, clean up the house of God and start with the inside and work your way out. What about us? It's time to clean up the house of God. Get rid of all the things that are there that ought not be there. Come on, somebody. Get rid of all the garbage and the junk, the young, the trash, the filth, the slime, the mess, the things that are there in your life. Get rid of all the anger, the bitterness. Get rid of all the envy, the strife, the jealousy, the backbiting, the backstabbing, the murmuring, the complaining. Have I missed anybody? It's time to clean up the house of God. It's time to clean up the house of God. We are the house of God. We're the tabernacle of God. It's time to, Lord, cleanse me, wash me, purge me, O God. Do a Holy Ghost Roto-Rooter number on my life. He says, time to clean up the house of God. Everybody shout, clean up. Because you don't clean up, you're not going up. Come on now. It's time to clean up the house of God. I'm going to do what is right in the sight of Almighty God. It's time to clean up the house of God. And Hezekiah said, it all ends today. Come on, say that. It all ends today. When? Today. On day one of his rule and reign as king, he said, I know things weren't right for the past 16 years. My father Ahaz, he was a wicked king, a wicked father. But it all ends today. He was saying what? He was saying, enough is enough. Come on, say that. Enough is enough. Come on, say that. You know, come on, it all ends today, church. Won't you make up your mind? Hell has come against you for the last time. Amen. Come on now. You got to rise up and say what? Enough is enough. You got to rise up and say, no more, no way. I believe Hezekiah was inspired by that great saint of old, Popeye and the Sailor Man. Did anybody ever watch Popeye Saturday mornings? Anybody? I thought you had. Every Saturday morning, Popeye's arch enemy, who was it? Brutus. Every Saturday morning, Brutus would come against Popeye. Because Brutus was after one thing. What was it? Popeye's main squeeze. Olive oil. Wasn't she a knockout? Come on home. But every Saturday morning, Brutus would come against Popeye because he was after olive oil. And guess what? It made Popeye so mad. He would get so ticked off, so riled up every Saturday morning. I mean, he was so upset because here came Brutus again. But every Saturday morning, he would get Popeye so mad. And Popeye would reach over and grab his can of what? Spinach. He'd hold that can of spinach up high, and before he would consume that spinach, he'd always say these words every Saturday morning. He would say, well, I've had all I can stands, and I can stands no more. Won't you hold your can of spinach up? Come on, church, come on now. Hold it up high, come on, hold it up high, come on, somebody, and tell hell, say, I've had all I can stands, and I can stands no more. And that's what Hezekiah was saying. We've had all this garbage and junk and yak and trash. We've been in bondage for 16 long years. But no more, no more, no more. It all ends today. Notice what it said. I'm a walk in the ways of my God. It's time to clean up the house of God. It all ends today. And what was the fourth thing he said? It's time to lay it upon the altar. It's time to lay it upon the altar. Now, what was he talking about there? What was Hezekiah saying? It's time to lay it upon the altar. Because for 16 long years, he had forbidden the people to sacrifice to Almighty God. They were not allowed to sacrifice a lamb, a ram, a bullock, a turtle dove, nothing. No blood was placed upon the altar for 16 long years. But guess what time it was when Hezekiah took over? The first day, what time was this? It was Passover. And for 16 long years, they had not celebrated like we did this morning, the Passover meal, communion, the covenant meal. For 16 long years, they had not celebrated that. But guess what Hezekiah said? It's time to celebrate it. It's time to lay it upon the altar. It's time to honor the blood. It's time to honor the work of our Lord. And guess what, church? It's time for us to lay it upon the altar. Come on, shout amen. Let us lay our lives down upon the altar. Why is that? Because it's at the altar, that's where God does alteration. Amen. A friend of mine was telling me some time back about her granddaughter. Now, her granddaughter went to her first wedding. And after the wedding was over, the reception in the back, the granddaughter turns to my friend and said, Meemaw, What, darling? And her granddaughter says, why did the bride change her mind? Now, I've been to some weddings before. I wish the bride would have changed her mind. Come on now. What do you mean, darling? Why did the bride change her mind? What do you mean? Well, Mimo, she went down to the altar with the old man. That's her father. And she left the altar with the new man, her husband. And guess what, church? At the altar where we lay down the old and we pick up the new. Come on, shout amen. It's time to lay it upon the altar. He said, let's all. Let us honor the work of the Lord. Let us honor the blood. Let's lay our lives down, church. Let's lay our lives down, even as they lay down the sacrifices there upon the altar in that chapter. Let us lay our lives down. Let's lay our lives down and say, Lord, it's not about me, but it's about thee. Not my will, but thy will be done. Let's create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. Let us cry, O God, let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer. Let's lay it upon the altar, upon the altar, upon the altar. Everybody shout the altar. Now, what was it again? Number one, he decided to do what was right in the sight of Almighty God. Number two, he says, time to clean up the house of God. Uh-huh. Number three, he said, it all ends what? Today. Tell somebody today. Oh, excuse me. That's the last time I'll go to Wuhan, China. He says, time to lay it upon the altar. And what's the fifth thing? The fifth decision was this. He said, it's time to praise the Lord. It's time to what? Praise the Lord. Because for 16 long years, he had forbidden the people of God, Ahab, no more praise to Almighty God, no more thanksgiving to Jehovah, no more adoration to the great I Am. They had been forbidden to praise God. Hezekiah, he said, I want all the priests, all the Levites to get together and form a band, a praise team. Pick up the instruments. Let's begin to praise the Lord. I mean, for 16 long years, there's been no praise, no worship, no adoration, no thanksgiving unto Almighty God. Have you ever been around somebody that had a whole bunch of pent-up praise? Have you? I'm talking about they were forbidden. No, you better not do that. You better not. And guess what? They had so much praise. Shut up. In the depths of the van, someone's pit up praise. Have you been around somebody like that? Come on, church. I have. I've been in China before on occasions, to the People's Republic of China. I've been in some of the underground churches, Brother Ken. Now, in a room where we'd see maybe 25 or 30 people, we'd have maybe 100 people standing there, packed in there. And where I've been there, on every pulpit I saw, on every underground church, every pulpit, there was a bell. There was a bell there. Why is that? Because the pastor or the leader would say, let's begin to praise the Lord. And when he would say that, guess what? The people there, there's so much praise, pent up praise, because they were not able to openly worship and magnify the Lord. There's so much praise. And the pastor would say, let's begin to praise the Lord. And all of a sudden, the people there, I've been there, they begin to raise their hearts and raise their hands and raise their voices. And they begin to praise the Lord. I'm not talking about a few Holy Ghost grunts. I'm not talking about a few low-key hallelujahs, but I was seeing people from 3 to 93 with their hands lifted, their voices raised, praising and magnifying God. Oh, and they were just going on and on and on. And then, hallelujah, the rafters were beginning to ring. Oh, hallelujah, praise the Lord, praise the Lord, praise the Lord, praise the Lord, praise the Lord. And then sometimes they're going for 10, 15, 20 minutes praising God. But all of a sudden the pastor began to ring that bell. Ding, 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 ding. I heard him sometimes ring the bell for 2 and 3 minutes. Why? Was he ringing the bell to get the people to stop praising God? In America, we got to ring the bell to get them to start praising God. Come on now. Won't you raise your hands up for just a moment? Come on now and begin to praise Him. Come on. Hallelujah. Oh, for just a moment, praise Him, church. Lift your hands and lift your heart. Come on, praise Him. Oh, hallelujah. Hallelujah. Come on, church. Come on. Don't stop. Don't stop. Don't stop. Hallelujah. 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 Ding, 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 ding. But Hezekiah made these decisions. Made these decisions. Have you made some right decisions for Him? But I'm talking about suddenly, yes. But the Bible tells us in that last verse of that chapter, and the thing was done. What's that word again? Come on, say it again. Suddenly. He's still the God of the suddenly. Now, let me ask the question again. How long were the people of God, the people of Judah, in bondage under Ahaz? How long was it? 16 years. But from the time that Hezekiah became king, God turned it all around. Read the chapter. God turned it all around in what? In 16 days. Come on, shout. Oh, hallelujah. He turned it around in 16 days. Because in 16 days, guess what? God brought in increase, blessing, abundance. Come on, yes, somebody. In 16 days, there was nationwide revival throughout all of Judah, the north, the south, the east, the west. Guess what? God did it before, and He's still God Almighty. If God did it back then, He can do it right now. Hallelujah. He's still the God of the suddenly. What do you need? Maybe there's emotional bondage in your life. Maybe there's marital bondage in your life. Maybe there's financial bondage in your life. Well, guess what? If God did it for Hezekiah and the people of Judah, and they were only mere servants of God under the old covenant, how much more so does God want to do it for us today? And that, yes, we are servants, but guess what? We're more than just servants. But today, we're sons and daughters of Almighty God. Come on, church. And I believe God did it for them in 16 days. Now, this is not a thus saith the Lord. But this is a thus saith a Danny suggestion. Why don't you believe God? How many believers in the house today? Now, Hezekiah said, it all ends what? Today. On day one. From that time to 16 days, God turned it all around. Let's start today. What is today? It is July the 2nd. Today, day number one. What is 16 days? What is 16 days? That is July the 17th. Why don't you believe God? That God's going to turn it all around for you. Come on, somebody. Turn it all around in 16 days. I believe God can turn your life around, your home around, your family around, your business around, your career, your ministry around, because He's still the same yesterday, today, and forever. If God did it for one, guess what? He will do it for another one. Come on, do you believe that? Raise your hands up high and shout, do it again. Because the Bible tells us that God is no respecter of persons. How many believe that? Come on. God is no respecter of persons. The first time I preached in Texas was in Pasadena, Texas, at Faith Assembly of God, right across the street from Gillies. Remember Gillies? Urban Cowboy? Guess what I got to do when I was there in Pasadena? I got to ride the bull. Come on now. Woo! Hallelujah. Real slow, though. Come on now. But I was in that church, and one lady stood up and said, Pastor McDuff, just like the Bible says, she started to quote, God is no respecter of persons, but she misquoted the verse. She said, just like the Bible says, God has no respect of people. Come on now. I think she missed it. Come on. But God has no respect for persons. What about you, my friend? What do you need God to do for you? He can turn your life around, turn your home around, turn your business around. And bring increase like He did for Judah. Abundance like He did for Judah. What about this great land of ours? I believe that God Almighty is still upon the throne. The throne of heaven is still occupied. Come on, church. I said the throne of heaven is still occupied. If God brought revival in 16 days to Judah, I believe God could do it here in America. Let's take the limits off of God. Come on, shout amen. Hallelujah. How many just give me 5 more minutes? Anybody let me see hands? 5 more minutes. Five. Five, 10, 15, 20, 25, 30, 30. Yeah, 35, 40. I said, suddenly. Come on, say that word. Suddenly. Say it again. Suddenly. Now, it was the month before COVID hit. COVID. I lovingly call that the Coron Moron Devil. Come on now. But I was flying out of Roanoke. I was on my way to India. It was a cold, cold, cold February morning. It was cold. It was icy. Here was the airport in Roanoke. The pilot said, well, they've got to de-ice the plane. And so they went around the plane, de-iced the plane. We just sat there for the longest, sat there forever, seemingly. Well, we're going to try it again. And hopefully, after they de-iced the plane the second time, we'll have room to get out of here. Everybody, hold on. Trust me, I was holding on tight. Well, they came around, de-iced the plane the second time. He said, we're out of here. So we took off out of Roanoke, going from there to Dulles, Washington, Dulles. We got into Dulles 2 hours late. But trust me, when the plane landed, the door opened up, I was running. This granddad was running as fast as I could. I had a big old, 40-pound garment bag. I don't check my luggage, especially when I was flying Delta. When I fly Delta, I don't check luggage. I don't, Pastor Ken, I don't. Because what does Delta stand for? D-E-L-T-A. Don't expect luggage to arrive. Woo! Come on now. So I jumped off that plane with a big old garment bag, and I took off down this concourse. I was just a run, just to get, what? It was about a 10-minute run. And here was this granny just a huff and a puppet. And finally I got to the gate where I was supposed to tell from. I get the, and the lady behind the counter said, you okay? But I looked out, and I saw the plane I was supposed to be on. She said, what is it? I said, the plane. What is it? I said, ma'am, I'm supposed to be in that plane. She said, well, sir, you can't get aboard. I said, ma'am, it's not my fault that I'm 2 hours late. I said, ma'am, I got to get in that plane. She said, I'm sorry, sir. They've already boarded the plane, but ma'am, help me out, please. I got to get on board that plane. She said, I'm sorry you can't do it. But ma'am, help me. She said, sir, the doors have been shut and I can't do it. I said, why not? She said, it's against the policies and procedures. It's against the rules and the regulations. It's against the law of the Medes and the Persians. Come on now. And I said, but ma'am. And she looked at me and she caught an attitude. And she began to point the finger about that long finger. She said, sir, the door is shut for you. The door is shut. The door is shut. The door is shut for you. And I just stood there to remind the Wicked Witch of the West. I was looking for all the flying monkeys. Come on now. Oh, she had an attitude. Meow. And I looked at her, and all of a sudden, her Lord says, son, begin to praise me now, and I'll turn to you. What's that word, church? Suddenly. Say it again. Suddenly. He said, begin to praise me now, and I'll turn to what? Suddenly. I said, how's it going to happen? I don't know. He said, son, begin to praise me, and I'll turn it suddenly. And I looked at her, she shaking her finger, and I turned away from her. And there was a concourse there, and I started walking toward that concourse. I said, Lord, you send your word in everything, give thanks, not for everything, but in the midst of everything. I said, Lord, I don't understand this, but you said to praise me, Lord. I'm praising you now, Lord. I praise you. I thank you to praise the Lord. Hallelujah, glory. And I started walking toward the concourse. And about that time, my lady was walking by. And she said, hey, Brother Johnston. I said, hey. I mean, she knew me, but I didn't know who she was. I said, where do I know her from? Denver, Dallas, Detroit, Buffalo, Boise, Buffalo. Where do I know her from? And I just stood there, and she knew me. How's it going? I said, everything's wonderful. Glory to God. Hallelujah. What's going on? And I said, what's going on with you? She said, I'm up here, this week from Atlanta. And then I knew what church she was from. She said, I'm up here this week from Atlanta, and she was a supervisor with the airlines. I'm up here doing some training, and about 10 minutes ago, I decided to give everybody a break. She didn't do that. God did that. And I said, I think I'm going to go for a walk. God prompted her. And she said, what about you? I said, well, there's the plane there. They've already boarded the plane. The door's shut. But that lady there told me I can't get on board the plane because I came in 2 hours late. She said, hold on just a moment. And she walked around the corner. She says something to the Wicked Witch of the West. Lord, forgive me. But Lord, thou knowest it is true. Hallelujah. And about that time, that precious spirit filled, on fire, loving, sanctified supervisor, she picked up the mic. She says, Open up the door. We got one more. We got one more. We got one more. I got a word for you. God said, you're the one. Hallelujah. It may look rough and tough, but God said, you're the one. He's opened door for you. Come on, shout. Amen. To raise your hands up high and say, do it again. Do it again. Do it again. Do it again. Hallelujah. I close with this. Recently, I was in Angleton, Texas. And I was in the service. I said, somebody right now, you've been healed. You got numerous tumors throughout your breast and your chest area. I said, you've been healed right now. It's a word of knowledge. And about that time, one lady jumped up and she took off running out of the church, ran by me, took off out of the sanctuary. I said, you don't see that every day. And I kept on preaching. It was good. I was preaching so good, Brother Kid, I wanted to buy the tape myself. It was good. But she took off running, and I just kept on. Well, about 4 or 5 minutes later, she came back in the sanctuary just running. Woo! Ran by me again. And she would say, God did it, God did it, God did it. I said, honey, what did God do? She said, you said somebody's been healed of numerous tumors, cancerous tumors. She said, I've been told I had 22 cancerous tumors all through my chest and breast area the size of golf balls. When you said that, I said, it's mine. I went to the ladies' room to check myself. And all the cancerous tumors that were there before, they're there no more. Come on, shout hallelujah. Woo, glory to God. Well, that was on a Wednesday night. I left the next day to Aransas Pass, Texas. And I said, you won't believe what happened last night. I said, one lady was healed of those 22 tumors. Oh, God healed her. By then, another lady jumps up. Woo, she takes off running too. She comes back in. She says, I had several cancerous growths, lumps in my body. When you said that about that lady, God says, I did it for her, I'll do it for you. And God healed me suddenly. They're all gone. Come on, shout amen. I don't know what you're going through. I don't know what you're facing. But if you'll be like Hezekiah, if you'll be like Hezekiah, make some right decisions. Because your decisions determine your destiny. Not just yours, but those around you, your loved ones, your family, your friends, your neighbors, your in-laws, your outlaws. Come on now. Hezekiah said, I'm going to do what is right in the sight of Almighty God. Hezekiah said, let's clean up the house of God. Hezekiah said, it all ends today. Hezekiah said, it's time to lay it up on the altar. And Hezekiah said, it's time to praise the Lord. Remember this, church. The depths of your praise will determine the magnitude of your breakthrough. So like Hezekiah and Judah, they begin to praise him. They begin to praise him. They begin to praise him. There's power, wonder-working power, when we begin to praise the Lord our God. Do you believe that? Come on, church. The Bible declares, let everything, that's you, that's me, let everything that hath breath do what? Praise the Lord. Praise ye the Lord. I close with this. My first closing. That's right, Pastor Ken. How much biblical for the man to say, finally, in conclusion, and to keep on preaching? That's biblical. I mean, you know that the Apostle Paul said in Ephesians 6, verse 10, he said, and finally, brethren, then he went on for 18 more verses. Come on now. I said, but he's the God of the suddenly. I said, he is the God of the suddenly. I may have shared this before, I don't remember, but I was in Noblesville, Indiana a number of years ago. I forgot about this until about 2 years ago. I get a letter from a little mama in Noblesville, Indiana. She said, Brother, I should have wrote you 12 years ago, but I'm writing you now. She said, you were at a church 12 years ago. I was at the church only one time in my life. She said, it was a Sunday night. And she said, my husband said, we didn't bring our son to church that night because when he would cause a commotion, a ruckus. But one of our friends called us when you were beginning to pray for people around the altar. We lived about a mile from the church. We brought him that night to the house of God. Now, I remember now, all of a sudden I was praying for people around the altar, but I looked over to my right side. Here comes a man and a woman. And that man, that husband, that father was holding the son. That son was just fighting his dad so hard. Leave me alone. Let me go. Put me down. Leave me alone. Let me go. Just slapping his father. Let me go. Let me down. And so loud, so loud. Everybody in the church was looking over there to see what's going on. And I left. I left the prayer line. I was praying for people. I went over there. I said to the mama, I said, what's going on? What's going on? She said, it's my son. He's got severe autism. He's got mental disorders problems because of school. He kicks and hits and bites all the other students. He jabs on pencils. He's always causing commotion in his classroom. And the teacher said, if there's not a change, we've got to take him out, find another place. But I'm believing God, brother. And I'm believing God. I'm believing God that touched my son. And the dad was holding the boy right there. Leave me alone. Let me go. Put me down. Screaming, hollering, yelling. But the mom says, brother, you reached over and you just began to lay your hands upon my son. He started slapping at you, fighting with you. But you laid your hands upon him. She said, you prayed a short prayer. I don't know what I prayed. I can't remember this. You know what? 14 years ago, I prayed, Lord, touch him. Lord, change him. Lord, heal him. But the mom said, but as soon as you touch my son, immediately he calmed down. Immediately he became so peaceful. The next Friday afternoon, we get another note from the teacher. This time, the note was different. It says, we don't know what has happened to your son, but your son is the most gentle, the most quiet, the most peaceful, the most attentive student I've got this week in my classroom. 2 years ago, he graduated from high school valedictorian. Come on, shit. Why? Because God did it. What's that word again? Suddenly. He said, there is no way. I got a word for you. There is a way. He said, I am the way. He said, I'm Yahweh. If God's done it before, if God's done it before, Brother Ken, who'll do it again? Yes. If he'd done it for one, Becky Jane, who'll do it for another one? He's a mighty God. For 16 long years, they're in bondage. How many today would say, I need my God to turn some things for me? Yes. Come on now. Maybe there's some things you need God to intervene for. You'll say, I need God to move mightily for me in this situation. I don't know what it may be. God's not told me, but I sense there's some needs today. Maybe your son, your daughter, your grandson, your granddaughter. I don't know. But you need God to move for you financially, emotionally, physically. Guess what? He's a mighty God. He's a mighty God. If he did it for Hezekiah, if he did it for Judah, he'll do it for you. Would you stand with me, please? Hallelujah. 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 Raise your hands and begin to praise him like Hezekiah had his people praise God. Begin to magnify the Lord of glory. Hallelujah. He's a mighty God. He's a mighty God. He's a mighty God. Hallelujah. 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 Father, you know what the people are dealing with today. You know where they're against. You know every obstacle, every barrier, every hindrance. But Father, I know that you're able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we can ask or think. And I'm asking you, Father God, that you'll begin to minister to every man, every woman, every boy and girl that is here. Father, we take the limits off of you. We take the limits off of you. We boldly declare that today every Ahaz is going to die. And you're the God of the suddenly. You're going to move on behalf of the people that are here individually and collectively. Father, whatever the need may be, I believe you're going to meet every need. You're going to bless their lives. You're going to take care of them. Everything's going to be okay. Can somebody shout praise the Lord? We're not going to keep you long. It's still early. It's only 7 o'clock in the morning in Hawaii. But let me ask you this question before we shift gears. Where do you stand with God? Where do you stand with God? I was just in South Texas last week. And a man came to me. He said, Brother Johnston. I said, yes, sir. He said, you remember what happened to my grandfather? I said, Brother, I can't remember. He said, you preached at our home church years ago. And my grandfather came and he was coming to church. He's a good man, but he'd never been born again. Never been saved. He said, but you gave an altar call. Several people responded. He gave another altar call. give another altar call. He kept throwing out the net, throwing out that. And finally, my grandfather, he came to the altar. He'd never been saved. Because you kept saying, this could be your last call. You know how long you have in life. He said, but that night, my grandfather came to the altar, gave his heart to the Lord. A little Sunday night. He said, my grandfather was a watchman at a factory, a guard. But he left church that night, went home for a few moments and went to work, the midnight shift. Some people came to the factory, broke in to rob the place and kill the grandfather. But about what, three or four hours before they guessed what the grandfather said yes to Jesus. We don't know when our time is. Boast not thyself tomorrow. Boast not thyself tomorrow, for thou knowest not what tomorrow may bring forth. But let me ask you this question. Do you know that you know without a shadow of a doubt that you're risen to meet the Lord? Have you been saved? I'm not asking, are you a good person? Yes, I believe we're all good people. But being good is not enough. You've got to be born again. You've got to make Jesus Christ the Lord of your life. Have you said, Jesus, come into my life and take over my life? Be the Lord of my life. Jesus, I don't want to die and go to hell, but I'm going to give my life to you, Lord. Have you done that? Have you been born again? If you've never been saved, if you've never been born again, you never made Jesus Christ the Lord of your life. You never said, Jesus, I'm a sinner in need of a Savior. I don't want to die and go to hell. Or maybe you say, at one time I lived for God. At one time I served God, but problems and pressures of life and the lies of a scheming devil got a hold of me, and I turned my back on the Lord. And I'm not living for the Lord like I once did. I've grown cold. I've slipped away. I've backslid. But I need to make a fresh start. Is that you? Heads are bowed and eyes are closed for just a moment, please. I would not embarrass anybody. I would not call you out. I'm not here to point fingers of accusation and judgment and condemnation at you. But I'm here to point you to Jesus, who loves you so much that he gave his life for you. So if you're here today, search your heart for just a moment. Search your heart. Like that dear grandfather, he didn't know that in less than a few hours, your life would be over. You don't know what tomorrow holds or even the rest of this day holds. Are you ready to stand before the Lord? So if you're here today, search your heart. Everybody just search your heart. If you're here today, you've never been saved. You've never been born again. Are you away from the Lord? You need to make a comeback. And you want me, as a man of God, the people of this great church, to pray for you just right now where you are. If that's you, would you just quickly raise your hand up high and put it back down? Do it now. Put your hand up high. Put them up. 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 God bless you, sweetheart, over there. I see your hand. God bless you. Is there another before we pray? Is there another? Is there another? Is there one more before we pray? Is there one more? You know where you should be with the Lord. Raise the hand and say yes to the Master. Amen, amen. Everybody look up. Smile. I want you to pray this after me, okay? You say, Heavenly Father, ask you right now to forgive me of all my sin. I've sinned against you. I'm sorry. I repent now. And this very day, I turn from sin and I turn to you. Jesus, I believe you are the Son of God. You gave your life for me that I could have life abundantly. You shed your blood for me to wash me clean of all my sin. You died for me, but you rose from the dead for me. You're the living Lord. I believe that with all my heart. And ask you right now to come in my life, be the Lord of my life, take over my life from this time forth and forevermore. And with your help, I'll live for you. I'll serve you. I won't turn back. I'm yours. You're mine. We're together forever. Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Woo! Glory to God. Either raise your hand. Did you mean that? Yes. Maybe others, maybe you didn't raise your hand, but maybe you need to. But you pray that prayer. What do you do now? What do you do now? Number one, read your Bible every day. If you don't have one, I'll get you one. This is a good book, Pastor Kim. I know the author personally. I mean, we're family. Read the Bible every day. What else? Pray every day. I don't know how to pray. You just talk to the Lord like you talk to your best friend. Just leave out the cuss words. Come on now. And what else? Every time the church doors open, you be here to grow in the things of God. I love you. Can somebody shout, bring it on, Lord. Bring it on. Before I turn it back to your pastor, let me say this. It's been a joy to be here today. I love you. I bless you. You're a great bunch. Hope we get to live on your street in heaven. Amen. It's going to be fun. But I covet your prayers. I've been blessed over the years to have traveled around the world. For what? To go vacation to sightsee? No. I've been to places some of you wouldn't want to go to. I've been to Port-au-Prince, Haiti. The last 3 months, over 2,000 people have been killed in the streets of Port-au-Prince alone. The wars, the gang, the violence, the kidnapping, the murders. I've been to Port-au-Prince many times over the years. Why don't we go to places like Port-au-Prince, Haiti? Why don't we go to Calcutta, India? The world's largest slum, the disease capital world, other places. Do I go to sightsee? No. Do I go to vacation? No. If I want a vacation, I'll go to Maui. I'll go to Pigeon Forge. Is that how you pronounce it? Okay. I'll go to Virginia Beach. But I go to these places and I'm going to keep on going. I'll get invitations. The next few months, I'll go back here. Plan to go back to India. Plan to go back to Nicaragua. I get invitations to go back to 34 countries. I've got invitations right now. If I found the time to go to Peru and Uruguay, to Turkey. But why am I going? Because of one thing. Beyond these walls, there's a world that's doomed and damned and dying. And they need the gospel of Jesus. Let me close with this last thing before we go back to our pastor. The last time I saw my dear friend, a great man of God, John Osteen, not Joel, but John. I saw Brother John about 3 months before he went to be the Lord. We were talking. And Brother John looked at me. He said, Brother Danny, I said, yes, Brother John. He said, never forget what I'm telling you right now. When a man of that caliber speaks, you don't forget it, do you? You write it down. Whose name is that?
John Osteen.
And John Osteen told me this. He said, never forget. I said, what's that, Brother John? He said, God will always, everybody shout always.
Always.
He said, God will always abundantly bless those who give in obedience to missions. I've seen people give sparingly. They weren't abundantly blessed, but I've seen people who give in bountifully in obedience to missions. Because missions is the heartbeat of God, and God has blessed their lives. So I ask right now, above all, would you help us to keep on going? One more thing, just pray for us as they go, because I want to see people come to the Lord, the saving grace. God bless you, darling. God's got great things ahead for you and for the rest of you. Amen. Raise your hands up high and say, thank you, Lord. You've got the sunlight for me. Amen. Pastor Ken, God bless you, brother. Take it away.